news regarding amateur radio. Your host is Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW. To get in touch with Lynn, call 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. That's 1-800-293-KFNN. Ham Radio and More is brought to you by AEA Incorporated, Wallpaper World, and Ken Nichols. Now, here's the host of Ham Radio and More, Lynn Winkler.
CQ, 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 Arizona, and welcome to Ham Radio and More, the only show of its kind in America. I'm your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW, and today's show is sponsored by Wallpaper World, Ken Nichols of Linda Brock Automall and AEA Incorporated. Our phone number is 241-1510, 241-1510, or in DX land, where we'll gladly pay for your call, 1-800-293-KFNN. I have in studio today Nick Seuss, W7ZMD, our resident techie, or technician, and ham radio guru. And we have no particular topic that we're going to discuss other than some news that's been piling up on my desk that I've not been able to get to before today. Also, first, I want to say welcome home, Dad. Glad you're out of the hospital and on the road to total recovery after having a triple bypass operation plus a valve replacement. You should see this valve. It is kind of neat-looking thing, but at least it works. And anybody doesn't think that we should spend money on the rocket program or the space shuttle, it's the doctor told me that it was from the space program that they invented this valve. So I guess the space program is worthwhile. Otherwise, my dad may not be here. So thank you, NASA, I guess.
Was that an intake valve or not?
I don't know, but it looks like a quarter. It's the size of a quarter. It's made of metal, and it has two pieces of glass in it. And I guess as the blood goes, it pushes the glass out, and the blood goes out. And then after that whoosh or whatever, it closes back down and then goes back and forth. It says it can last 35, 40 years.
Sounds like an intake valve.
Well, whatever it is, it's working, and thankfully for that. So get well soon and back to playing ball, because my son is waiting to play. Matthew wants to play some ball, Dad. And how about that Spring Ham Fest that took place yesterday at Scottsdale Community College? To sum up the fest in two words, it was absolutely fantastic. A word of gratitude and congratulation goes out from me to the people responsible for a job well done. And I encourage your calls. In fact, I'm asking for calls to 241-1510 or 1-800-293-KFNN. Give us a call if you went to the fest yesterday and have never been to one before. I want to know what you thought of it. We'd like to get your input as to, if you've been to them before, also give us your input as to what you liked about it, what maybe you'd like to see some improvements next year, etc. We'd like to get your comments. Feel free to give us a call at 241-1510 or 1-800-293-KFNN. I want to thank all you hams out there who are involved in the weather facts programs, because you must have really looked at the maps well and stopped the rain from coming yesterday, because it didn't come until about 1 o'clock, well, no, even later than that, about 1:30, a quarter to 2, and that was for a short time.
It just kind of sprinkled. About 3 o'clock, it actually drizzled. We have what we call a 12-inch rain in Phoenix. That's when the drops are 12 inches apart.
Well, it didn't rain there, and anybody that didn't come there because they thought they'd get wet, well, they were certainly incorrect, because it didn't rain, and it was beautiful. It wasn't real windy. In fact, the sun peeked out of the clouds every so often. And we had over 900 cars that did show up there. And we figure right around 4,000 people, which is a slight increase over last year. They did have VE testing. There were close to 100 people that were there for the VE testing, and I was told that close to 90% of the people taking tests were no-code techs.
Wow, that's a good number. Do you know how many were out of the class?
No. Oh, you mean the Lorraine's?
Yeah.
I think she had, but that wasn't, that was, they're taking their test today.
Oh, that's completely separate then.
Yeah, that's completely separate. There's like 56 people in her class. She had a terrific turnout.
Yeah.
I mean, all the seats were filled. Again, we'd like anybody to call us if they have any feelings on what they thought about the Ham Fest yesterday. And if you didn't go, you really missed something. What'd you think, Nick, of the Ham Fest yesterday?
I thought it was really good, and it looked to me as though there were more more sellers this year than last year. And all the Ham Fests I've been to recently looked like it was almost even between computers and ham equipment. This one seemed to be more associated towards the ham equipment. Sure, there were a lot of was a lot of computer stuff there, but there was a lot of good ham equipment there.
That's just what I was going to say. There were a lot of good stuff for sale, not just the typical boat anchor.
Not the ones that migrate from garage to garage as the years progress.
Yeah, there are those sellers that show up there for every ham fest, the same car or the same truck, the same equipment for the same price.
Yeah.
I know I made some offers. They were all rejected on some equipment, but when I went back and looked, somebody bought them because at least on a 440 beam and a 440 amplifier that I tried to buy, someone bought those. So a couple people didn't take the offers I gave on a dual bander, but I did try to buy it pretty inexpensively, although I think they were reasonable. So did you buy anything while you were there?
I bought a few things, nothing major. An SWL receiver, and looked at a key, but couldn't quite bring myself to that.
Well, I'd like to know who bought the best, who had got the best bargain of all yesterday. If you got the deal of a lifetime, tell us so that it can make all the rest of us feel envious. We'll listen to 241-1510. I thought it was an excellent ham fest, and the people that attended the seminars, I know there were a lot of people at the antenna seminars. There were people at the packet seminar. There weren't a lot of people there at 8 o'clock in the morning, so didn't have a tremendous turnout at the first seminar, but there were a lot of people there. Sundrop was there. A lot of kids were cuddling him. I saw him hugging. People were... the snack bar, they ran out of food. They sold all their donuts, almost all their coffee, all their drinks, hot dogs. They kept having to make more and more hot dogs. They were running out of that.
The hot dogs were okay. I can attest to that.
They were well-priced, too. So, anyway, it was a lot of fun. And the next Ham Fest, which brings me to the next Ham Fest. The next one, mark your calendars, is July 24th, 25th, and 26th. And that's a three-day event at Fort Tuthill. And that's, of course, near Flagstaff. And let's see. You can, if you want to have a space, it costs you $10. It's they're going to have all kinds of good prizes. They're giving away a tri-bander, Kenwood TM741A. Second prize is a Yaesu FT757. Third prize, a Cushcraft R7. Fourth prize, a Diamond SX1000 SWR power meter. And they're going to have VE exams on Saturday. And again, that's going to be July 24th, 25th, and 26th. And there's camping for $5 per night. You can stay over. I think they have free admission there and free parking normally. I'm pretty sure, or I may be wrong on that, but I don't...
Parking's free.
Parking's free, but it says, no, it doesn't have any price here for admission. I may be wrong. I've been wrong. It says here, free admission. All over, free admission, free admission, free admission. Just read, and I'll be all set. Okay. And there's also the ARRL, which, of course, is the American Radio Relay League, but the... like the, not the union, I don't like that, but the organization representing amateur radio. They're having their national convention at the Los Angeles Airport Marriott Hotel August 20th through the 23rd. So if you want to go there, let's see, you can call, well, you make room reservations at the LAX Marriott, If you want information, you can call 714-737-7000. Wait, outside California, call 1-800. Here we go. 1-800-322-CORP. 1-800-322-CORP. You can get some information on the ARRL National Convention, August 20th through the 23rd at the Los Angeles Airport Marriott Hotel. Told you we're going to have ramblings today. We're going to have a long soliloquy if we don't get people calling in, because maybe people's digit fingers are not working. Let's see what else we have. Oh, there's some tests going on. The next test is April 4th in the Phoenix area, and that's going to take place at DeVry, and that's around 23rd Avenue and Dunlap at DeVry, and that's, again, April 4th, 1992. Then the next one, there's a lot in Tucson. You know, I was reading this list of radio exams, and there's tons in Tucson. I guess they have a bunch every month. There's one on April 4th in Tucson, April 18th in Tucson, May 2nd in Tucson. There's one May 9th in Prescott. Anybody interested and they want these phone numbers, just give us a call, 241-1510. We'll give you the numbers who to call for the tests in Tucson. I'll even give you the phone number of who to call about the Phoenix test at DeVry and for Prescott. So if you're interested, just give us a call and I'll give you that information. We have one caller on line, line two. Let's see. Welcome, Bill, to Ham Radio and More, KB7NHZ. Are you there? Bill, I don't hear you. I don't hear you. Can you help me? Kevin? Bill?
Yeah.
Ah, Kevin, thank you. Yeah, okay.
You got it.
Well, yeah, it wasn't me.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How's Bill doing?
Excellent. I want to thank you for having Nick on. I always enjoy hearing him. And I want to welcome your beautiful face to the world of amateur television.
Oh, yes. I enjoyed that. I was fortunate enough to get an AEA incorporated VSB 70 transceiver, and I'm on the air. And let me tell you, amateur television is fun.
It's a lot of fun.
I mean, it's a pleasure. Well, sometimes it's not a pleasure. I mean, when you're on, to see who you're talking to. But you know,
Well, your daughter and my daughter seem to be doing pretty well. I think they're going to be the leading female hams when they grow up.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that.
Oh yeah. But no, I think you know, the limitations of ATV haven't even been explored. I want everybody to know that once the shuttle goes off, we will be rebroadcasting that live.
And that's on channel 57.
Cable ready, channel 57.
You need an outside antenna though if you want to pick that up.
Well, I'll tell you what, I picked it up on my set without an outside antenna. But you can pick up those cheap butterfly antennas from Radio Shack for, I think it's $2.99, and put them on your UHF adapter, and they do just fine. It is vertically polarized, so you move them around until you find the right configuration.
And so you're gonna rebroadcast the entire about what 18 hours a day of the NASA Select?
Right, between KD7BU Don Shelley and N7NOU Larry Dilley, the club president and the club vice president, they will be rebroadcasting the entire show.
Well, excellent.
They go off at night. If there's nothing going on at night, if there's something going on at night, they'll leave it on. But if there's no activity going on at night, they'll shut it down.
So, listeners out there, you certainly don't need to be a ham radio operator to watch this on TV. So that's kind of a neat service.
That's true. And we enjoy providing that. One of our guys, Ward, WB7BBD, he put a whole system in for his kid's school.
Hey, Bill, I've got a question. Is that channel 57 in the 450 band?
Yeah, it is.
So if you got a 450...
Cable-ready channel 57, Nick.
Yeah, that's no problem. But if you got a 450 beam, you can use that to receive it as long as it's vertically polarized.
Definitely.
Very good. I'm in business.
Good.
Yeah, and when NASA Select goes off, you might even see my mug on there.
Excellent.
Or Don or somebody. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm impressed by all the people that are out there, and they've all got their videos set up. There's a lot of people out there. You got to be careful. I mean, my daughter came in, and I was putting the camera on her, and everybody saw her. She was a star or a starlet or something. I don't know. Anyway, you got to be careful what you're doing on this video.
I won't go into that. By this time next year, we have a committee in the ATV club that are working on 1.2 gigs, and they are already duplexing.
Well, it comes out at 1253, doesn't it?
Well, but I'm talking about on a separate band, a separate frequency. They're running on FM.
Uh-huh, so that's back and forth.
Right. So by next year, you'll be able to transmit and see the guy at the same time. You'll be able to see each other while you're transmitting simultaneously.
Like a split screen?
You got it.
Hey.
We got KSAJ and NT7L, WB7VVD, and KB7DU are doing that already.
Well, since you bring up Earl Campbell, I saw him yesterday, and I hope you're feeling better, Earl. He was a little under the weather yesterday.
Well, I hope he takes care, because he had a slight heart attack about 6 months ago.
Well, if you just rest, you'll get better.
Okay.
And did you get to the Ham Fest yesterday?
I couldn't make it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you for calling, and keep those ATV channels warm.
Thanks for the excellent program. Nick, take care. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay,
73.
73.
I'd like to take a moment to tell you about my good friend, Ken Nichols. Ken, WA7HXZ, has been a ham for many years now. He even operated Mars stations many years ago from one of the most prestigious ham shacks here in the Phoenix area. Today, still an extremely active ham, Ken has been very, very busy of late. In fact, right now, he's in Casa Grande with the Arizona Junior Rodeo. He's showing Dodge trucks, and he's got one there he calls Godzilla, the big Dodge truck. It's a one-ton dual rear-wheel four-wheel drive and some other stuff with it. It's the big mother of them all, Dodge truck. But he gets involved with everything. You see, he's come up with an idea, though, really, to make money for his company and himself. Well, you know, a guy can make some money for himself. But the most important benefit of all included the ability to also completely satisfy the customer, which is you and me. This is unheard of today in business. I mean, imagine a plan where everyone involved wins. I mean, it's amazing, but it's true. Ken Nichols is, of course, the fleet manager for Linda Brock Auto Mall in Scottsdale. And in that position, Ken came up with a super savings plan idea. He has a little overhead in his department, very little, because it's just him and a few others that are working in the fleet department, but he runs it. He handles it. He usually sells cars, trucks, and vans in large quantities to fairly large companies. But Ken figured that if he could sell just a few more cars to certain individuals at the same prices as his fleet customers got, he would easily increase his sales. So Ken began his super savings plan for employees of extremely large companies. And then he filtered down to some smaller companies. But due to its success, he's expanded to include ham radio operators and listeners of this show, as well as, you know, many other people. But you can't just walk in and see him. You got to call him in advance, and that's true. Ken's idea has worked. It's worked so much that he's selling cars all over the country, as well as into England and Germany. And you should be a customer, too. You'll save big money, get treated with respect and courtesy, and you'll be completely satisfied, which is something I don't always hear when people buy cars from their local dealer. So give Ken Nichols a call today, 228-2336, and he can get you any car, any model, any make you want. You know, it doesn't have to be just one particular type, anything. Just give him a call, 228-2336. You'll really be glad you listened to me. 228-2336, Ken Nichols, fleet prices direct to you. And give him a call right now if you want to get him. Maybe you can convince him to rope a calf or ride a bull or something, since he's at the rodeo. 228-2336. And he's ready for your call. Really, give him a call. Okay, I got more stuff. Lots of stuff, Nick. You know, stuff.
This is stuff day.
This is stuff day. Nick, that stuff too? Oh, okay. Oh. No, Kevin. Okay, the spaceship Atlantis is going up soon on space mission STS-45, which is exactly what Bill was talking about. And I'm giving away a Sundrop T-shirt. A Sundrop T-shirt. All you need to do is tell me how many. Now, if you've won a T-shirt in the last 30 days, you're ineligible. But if you haven't won in the last 30 days, then call 241-1510 or 1-800-293-KFNN, and you will win a Sundrop T-shirt. And if you were there yesterday, you saw they're kind of neat. Okay, just tell me how many of the astronauts in STS-45 are hams, and I want the female's name and call sign. And she's a new ham, and what is her call sign? So somebody that's really into this should know that. It's really not a hard question because it's been on every news release. In packet, it's on there all the time. STS-45 going up tomorrow, it's supposed to, if it doesn't rain too badly. And they're going to have 7 astronauts. And how many of them are hams? And we'll talk a little more about it. I've got a whole bunch of stuff on it, and you guys can listen. If you have a 2-meter radio, to a lot of things that are going on this particular SAREX mission. They've got a lot of ham equipment, and they want to talk to schools. There's schools involved, and they want to talk to just people all over. It says they're going to try to make as many QSOs as possible, which I think is neat. And I've got the frequencies. Let's see.
It's a neat place to go on an expedition.
Yeah, I haven't been able to get there recently. Let's see, SAREX. When Space Shuttle pilot Brian Duffy keys his microphone, see, I gave you a hint, the Raiders won, on the 2-meter amateur radio band, the first person he contacts might be a high school student in San Jose, California, or a third grader in Maynard, Massachusetts. Duffy is one of how many licensed radio amateurs on the Space Shuttle Atlantis STS-45, which is scheduled to blast off at 8:01 Eastern Time on March 23rd from the Kennedy Space Station at Space Center at Cape Canaveral, Florida. Dubbed the SAREX Project, and if you don't know what SAREX stands for, it stands for the Shuttle Amateur Radio Experiment. The Shuttle Earth Radio Connection is an educational innovation developed jointly by the ARRL, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, AMSAT, and the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA. SAREX is supported by the Federal Communications Commission. It brings the excitement of the U.S. space effort into schools around the world. When students talk with real astronauts in orbit, they learn about technology and communication. But just as important, plotting the orbital path to make contact, they may become fascinated with geography, mathematics, and other subjects that might otherwise be a turnoff. In addition to Duffy, STS-45 crew members, well, there's a few others. I don't see anybody getting the correct answer yet. Just tell me how many. Oh, and I thought it was kind of neat. The ARRL came up with this new publication called QSO Media. Have you ever seen this?
Not yet.
Okay, it's brand new. It's the first time, volume one. It's provided for public service people and people who are media, involved with the media, and they put Len Winkler, KB7LPW, produces Ham Radio and More, the only weekly radio program in the United States. Len hopes for a national audience through BRN, Business Radio Network. So it's kind of neat that, you know, we got a little publicity on that. Okay, let's get local here. We've got from ARCA, Jeffrey Hanna, WB7RFY, sent me, and I appreciate all the correspondence. Anybody has club information and stuff they want to pass along, send it to me. Let's see, ARRL report. Our section manager reports the new ARRL president is George Wilson, W4OYI of Kentucky, and first vice president is Rod Stafford, KB6ZV of California. And, oh, listen to this. In 1991, nearly 40,000 new amateur licenses were issued, mostly codeless technician class. At last official report, Arizona had 9,000 964 licenses. You guys should have a pen and pencil, because I'm going to give you so much information and stuff that you'll want to have that all written down. Arizona had 9,964 licenses, of which approximately 2,750 are ARRL members, which is about the national average. The ARRL is offering a brand new trial membership this year, offering all league benefits for 4 months for just $10. So think about it. Join the ARRL. ARRL sponsored Ham Radio Awareness Day will be on Saturday, September 19th this year. Now, last year, I know there was confusion about what day it was going to be, if it was going to be, the month it was going to be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So don't say that I didn't tell you. It's Saturday, September the 19th, and hopefully every club will participate to promote our hobby statewide that day. Start making your group plans now. I know the only club that really got involved last year was the Superstition Club. Oh, and Al Gross, I know, was at the club, Superstition Club meeting this last Tuesday, and they liked him so much that they picked him to come back and asked him to come back again and do another presentation in October. Well, you know, the Superstition Club has a lot of snowbirds. They got mad, and they said, wait a minute, I don't want him in October because we won't be here. And he's so good. So he was put off till January when they'll be back in town. So I know that the West Valley is going to have Al Gross either in April or May. Someone knows out there. I can't remember if it was April or May. But Al Gross will be the speaker. Don't miss Al Gross there. I mean, he's just amazing. You know, the inventor of the first walkie-talkie. He'll tell you about the history of radio like you've never heard it before. He was there. So it should be interesting. And I know he's also going to give a presentation at the ARA, and I'm not sure what month that is. So, but I know he's on tap to do those things. And I still don't have an answer. Nobody knows who the few. Give me one part of the answer. How many of them are astronauts? Okay, if you can answer all those questions, I'll give you not only the T-shirt, but a $15 Wallpaper World gift certificate. But if you can answer just part of it, we'll give you a T-shirt. So tell us at least how many of the seven members are ham radio operators, and tell me the name and the call letters of the woman astronaut. Give me either part of that. Give me both. Get both things. Okay, let's see what else I have here. I got so much stuff.
If you give both answers, you get both the front and the back of the T-shirt?
Both.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Are you traveling? I got this off my packet bulletin board. I thought this was kind of interesting. If you're traveling into Mexico and you want to use your ham radio, you know it's kind of involved if you want to do that. If you're interested in operating your ham rigs while traveling or staying in Mexico, you might ask yourself questions like, is it legal to operate with the same U.S. license? Is it possible to get a permit? The answer is yes. You can get a permit while you are in Mexico. Oh, our phone number is 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-KFNN. And you're listening to Ham Radio and More on KFNN. And I'm Len Winkler, your host, and Nick Seuss, W7ZMD. Say hi.
Hi. Okay. Is that 1-800 number good for out-of-state, too, for the people out in California listening to us?
You know, I don't think so. I think it's only in Arizona, but I'm not sure. Why doesn't someone get on their Concorde, get into California, give us a call, say no. All right, but let's get back to Mexico. I thought this was intriguing. This person, this is from NS7G in Arizona, Rod, and he says he called the Hermosa office and got the following information on March 20th. You are allowed to operate legally in Mexico. You will continue using the same U.S. call sign, but you will need the following. You will need your tourist permit, and you can get this at the Mexican border just like every tourist does. You need a copy of your U.S. amateur license. That's a must. And you need 195,000, no, not dollars, Mexican pesos, which is approximately $65. And to pay the fee, you first get a deposit slip at the delegation regional office in Hermosa, Sonora. Then you go to the bank, and they'll tell you the bank to pay the fee. Once you already paid the fee and presented items A and B, they'll issue a certificate, the amateur radio certificate, in your name. This certificate lasts the same time that your tourist permit lasts. The address in the state of Sonora, well, you know, if you want to know that, I'll give you it all. But I thought it was interesting that, you know, you do need to do that. It costs you $65 if you want to operate as a ham radio operator in Mexico.
Well, if you're only going for 3 days, that's a pretty expensive license. But
well,
if you can be there for a month or so, it'd be a great deal.
That's true. Okay, let's see. We have Martin, KB6BW. That's a California call. Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Oh, thank you much. I have a question that I'd like to ask. If you know, are there any state legislators that are hams?
Yes.
No.
Yes, there are.
There are. Well, the reason I'm asking is I'd like to see if we could get one to sponsor a bill letting us put amateur radio call plates or license plates on leased vehicles. I'm leasing a vehicle, and right now the registration laws or the state DMV laws don't permit it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm leasing a vehicle. I tried to do it, and I even talked to the head of the special plates department, and because first they said yes, then they said the leasing company has to permit it, and I got the leasing company to permit it. They said, of course, and then the head person there said, no, it cannot be done because it's a personal license.
And
it can't be given, you cannot give your amateur radio call to somebody else. And I don't know how they would change that, but I would agree with you. I'd like to see a change where they could at least, I could at least get the license plate and own the license plate.
Yeah, in California they do permit it. I guess it's got to do with the way the registration works here in the state, because you can put on a leased vehicle the vanity plates, but not ham radio plates. And it, basically the registration says you've got to be, well, ham radio plates paperwork says you have to be the co-owner.
Correct.
And I get in Arizona, they had the register, or California, you had the registered owner and then you had the legal owner, and you could do it that way. But it would be just, I guess, a change, you know, a wording change in the law or in the registration requirements. And do you happen to know the name and the calls of any of the legislators that are hams?
The only one that comes to mind is Green, and I can't remember his first name.
Is he from Arizona?
Yeah.
I'd like to see about getting it. I've got the plates, and they're hanging on the wall. You know, they're wallpaper right now. I'd like to put them on the vehicle.
Well, I'll tell you, it would be kind of neat if you could get a copy of the way the California law is written, and we could then somehow get enough signatures where we could, of hams, to somehow, and I don't know the process of how that works, but get it to some state representative or Mr. Green that Nick is talking about. That's something I would certainly be in favor of, because I'm upset that I can't have my call letters on the license plate.
Yeah, I've got, I had the exact same thing happen to me also. I called up and I said, oh yes, you can do it, just get the letter from the leasing company, notarized letter letting you change your registration. So I'm all happy, run over DM or motor vehicle with it. Can't do it, they call up the special police department, nope, can't do it, no, well.
And I spent about 20 minutes trying to convince her, and she said, no way. You know, so at least I got my deposit back or my money back, but I really wanted it. I said, you know, why can't, it just doesn't make any sense to me. But I guess what we would need to do, and that would be something maybe I can work on, is try to get the wording in the California law and try to somehow get that put into Arizona.
Yeah, I have a friend, you know, friends in California that are hams that have call letter plates on, but I don't know that I can get a copy of.
Well, we would need a specific part of it.
Which is written, you know.
Yeah, we would need a specific part where we were able to get the lease. You know, if you leased a vehicle.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to work on that. I am going to work on it because I share your desire.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening, Myron.
Bye-bye. 7-3.
Okay, N7WTF. Ron, welcome to Ham Radio More.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Real good. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you.
Thanks.
You have a guess on the answer.
Yes, I believe that there are four hams, three American and a Belgian.
That's correct.
And Dr. Kathy Sullivan's call is N5, Yankee, Victor.
Very good. And you're 100% correct, of course. And, yeah, she just got that. I think it was, like, less than 30 days ago.
Yeah, there was a problem. They were waiting. They were wondering if the FCC was going to get it out to her.
Well, it's a good thing he had both parts of the answer. He gets the whole T-shirt.
Even sleeves. But yeah, in fact, in today, I received on my packet, you know, if you're not into packet, guys, you need to get into it. Because I got a lot of information from it. It says about the space program that, you know, you need to be an extra class, or at least one member must be an extra class in order to operate out of the spaceship, out of the shuttle. And what they did is, let's see, where is the exact, okay, here it is. As of today, Friday, March the 20th, the FCC has formally granted astronauts Catherine Sullivan, N5YYV, and Dirk Freimout, ON1AFD, scheduled to fly aboard shuttle mission STS-45, permission to operate amateur radio from space. The ARRL sought the rules waiver to allow Sullivan, who holds a technician class license, to participate. The FCC rules require amateur stations in space to be controlled by at least one extra class operator, and there was not enough time to upgrade, I guess, any of them before the launch. Fremont, who will also operate the Sarek station, was granted a U.S. reciprocal license on February 13th, holds a VHF-only license from his home country of Belgium. The waivers follow those granted on January 31st, which allow Atlantis astronauts David Listma, N5WQC, and Brian Duffy, N5WQW, also technician class licenses, to operate in space. Although the Sarek experiment is a secondary activity, the four ham astronauts say they'll try to be on the air as much as possible. So that's pretty interesting. You know, ham radio is involved with the space shuttle. I think that's neat. You're going to win, Ron, a T-shirt from Sundrop, Go With The Glow. Were you at the Ham Fest yesterday?
Yeah, matter of fact, it's funny. I bought my daughter one of the shirts there at the Ham Fest.
You got class.
Perfect.
And did your daughter hug Sundrop?
No, unfortunately, she wasn't able to attend.
Oh, okay. Well, Sundrop was there. But anyway, you go for the glow. It's everything good about Arizona. You'll get a T-shirt from Sundrop. And also, you're going to get a $15 gift certificate from Wallpaper World. And I know you need some blinds or wallpaper.
Actually, I don't know where I'm going to put them, but I'll find something to do with it.
You must have a wall that needs something. A board.
Well, no, I'm gonna rent it out. Oh. And everything's already out.
Well, it'd be for your mother, father,
yeah,
sister, brother.
I
somebody.
Think I can find somebody that can use it.
Okay, I'm gonna put you on hold, and Kevin's gonna take your information. Thanks for listening, Ron.
Thank you.
Okay, bye bye. Okay, very good. And we have AEA. Is always a step ahead of the competition, and utilizing the latest digital signal processing technology, AEA has a major breakthrough in multi-mode controllers. The DSP-1232 with two switchable ports and the DSP-2232 with two simultaneous ports. This is the controller of the future, and it's available now. It's going to satisfy any customer. I mean, these are both absolutely the greatest controllers you've ever seen. Both units have the hardware included for all available amateur modes that are currently available today. As new modes become available, all that's required is a replacement EEPROM or a telephone BBS downloaded binary file. Available now are all of the PK-232 modems plus the PAXSAT, Oscar's 15 and 13 satellite modems, and the K9NG and G3RUH 9600-bit per second modems. And coming very shortly are multi-level grayscale WeatherFax and WeatherFax APT, as well as slow-scan television. Any desired FSK tone pair can be programmed for the DSP units, as well as QAM and QPSK or other specialized modems, which makes these modern multi-mode data controllers the most versatile available today. I'll talk more about these great controllers on a later show, but for now, just remember, the DSP-1232 and the DSP-2232 from AEA when you're looking for the multi-mode data controller. They do packet two, you know. And see the complete AEA line of goodies at Ham Radio Outlet, 17th Avenue and Camelback here in Phoenix. And if you want a free 1992 catalog of AEA products, and they got a nice catalog, a lot of good stuff in it, and they've also got a coupon on the back where they'll send you their free newsletter of updates and all kinds of stuff, you can give AEA a call toll-free, 1-800-432-8873. That's 1-800-432-8873. Please mention Ham Radio and More. They like to know where they get the calls from or why you're calling them. AEA, where are the action's at? And I'll tell you, their AEA VSB-70 transceiver for ATV. My goodness, is that a lot of acronyms? Really works great. The ATV Club used it and said that it was working fine, so I was kind of happy about that.
I almost got that yesterday, but you were too quick.
Oh, you tried to take it away from us, huh? Thanks a lot.
You mentioned something that a lot of people don't realize. You can get updates for your 232 software from AEA via the phone lines. I was talking to someone who said he'd gotten several updates, three or four different ones, just by calling them and getting it downloaded from the phone. It's a lot more convenient than trying to chase ROMs and all that junk.
You know, there's also an article that I have read. Well, before I get to that, if you're a college-bound AM radio operator, the Foundation for Amateur Radio, headquartered in Washington, D.C., plans to award 45 scholarships on behalf of various donors, including the QCWA, 1010 International, and the Radio Club of America, which I'm proud to be a member of the Radio Club of America. Several awards sponsored by clubs are specifically designated for residents of a few certain states. However, you can still get a scholarship if you qualify. All licensed amateurs are eligible if they are pursuing a full-time course of studies beyond high school at an accredited institution of higher learning. Application forms and additional information can be requested by letter or QSL card prior to May 31st. Here's the address, FAR Scholarships, 6903 Rhode Island Avenue, 6903 Rhode Island Avenue, College Park, Maryland, 20740. So, if you want to get a scholarship, that's something of interest. I've got so much stuff, Mike. Goodness, it's amazing of all this stuff to pass on. The Cochise Amateur Radio Association. They're having their annual Ham Fest May 2nd and 3rd, at Green Acres, located 9 miles east of Sierra Vista and 2 miles south of Highway 90 on Monson Road. The talk-in frequency is 146.16. There's free admission, free parking. The fee for tailgating is $5, which includes 5 free prize tickets. Ham radio and computer vendors are certainly welcome. And they have a famous junk sale also, and prizes, and more prizes. Let's see. They're going to have, what else? If you want more information, call Rick at 459-1039. That's 459-1039. That's the Cochise Amateur Radio Spring Fest, May 2nd and 3rd. They're giving away a Yaesu FT-747. Save it for me, guys. I need one of those. Ranger 10-meter mobile and a Butternut HF6VX antenna. really, I'm looking for a dual bander. But anyway. The latest ham radio call signs given as late as March 1st in, let's see, in Arizona would be seven calls, of course, was AA7NO, KG7ZY, ZW. Boy, they're going to be in the KHs very shortly. N7WRZ. You know what they're going to do, Nick, when they finish the N7s? Because they're not going to be much more room after that. I mean, they're WRZ already. They only got X, Y, and Z, and these are going fast. I mean, just not too long ago, they were in the N7Qs.
Well, obviously, it's going to be some double-letter combination at the beginning.
So they'll go to, like, a novice call.
I think that's where they're headed.
Okay.
The last all in shape.
Well, the last novice call was KB7ORK.
Interesting you mentioned AA7NO. He's on the DX packet system.
Well, that, you know, I tried to get a hold of N7US, is it?
Jim.
And he's a very quick-moving individual, because every time I almost got him, he walked and ran away. He probably saw me coming, because I'd like to do a show on the DX packet cluster. It's a... If people out there are not familiar with the DX packet cluster, it is certainly an interesting operation. I mean, it's like no other packet bulletin board. I mean, it's unique in its own. I mean, there's about 60, 70-page book of how to use the packet cluster.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. The things it does is amazing. So, Jim, I want you. So, I think we'll make an excellent show. Also, if you're interested, the states that had the most growth in amateur radio in the last 5-6 years, number one state. You know, I might save this for next week and use this as a trivia question. In fact, I'm not going to give you the answer. I'm going to use that for a trivia question next week. You can look it up and you'll have the answer. I'm going to want to know who the what state had the highest increase in growth, and it was over 40% in the last 5 to 6 years. Okay, let me do the last piece of business, and then we'll have a few minutes to go into a couple other things. Let's see, what specials are going on in Wallpaper World this week? Well, first off, did you know that Wallpaper World has been in the Valley since 1977 and is beyond a doubt the largest independently owned wallpaper and blind, wallpaper and blind retail chain in Arizona? Do you know Wallpaper World has 6 great discount showrooms in the Valley to serve you, and all are staffed by trained, highly professional, and knowledgeable decorators? You know, they're not a self-service store like, won't mention the names of some, but they're not a self-service, you know, you go in there, you're going to get help. They're going to help you, they're going to assist you, you can bring in your fabric, you can bring in a pillow, they'll match stuff to you, because I know to a lot of people, And I don't want to sound corny here, but to a lot of guys, it's hard to pick out colors and decorate their houses, you know.
It was blue.
Yeah, well, you know, but it really, you can clash. So they have trained people who know what they're doing. They're designers, and they'll help you. They have over 1,100 wallpaper books, which give you about 100,000 patterns to choose from, Nick. Is that enough? 100,000 patterns? And not to mention about 500 patterns in stock to take home if you don't want to go through the books. I mean, that's enough. And all at discount prices. In fact, Wallpaper World guarantees to beat any and all prices on wallpaper. I mean, just bring them the pattern number of any wallpaper from any wallpaper book, and they'll order it for you at a discounted price, less than anybody else's in the entire country. I mean, I know. I could tell you firsthand. Now, take the phone number, take the price, verify it, and beat the deal. Beat the deal all the time. So don't go anywhere else, really. And if you want custom window coverings, including wood shutters, mini blinds, pleated shades, vertical blinds, draperies, and more, that's Wallpaper World. Don't go anywhere else, really. Call 272-4788, 272-4788 for more information or the location nearest you. Wallpaper World really does make selecting custom decorating products an enjoyable experience. So, and you know, you can use some new decorating products in your house, although I've never been there. I'm sure you can. let's see. Wednesday, March 18th. And did you know that on that day in 1909, Einar, E-I-N-A-R, Dessau, D-E-S-S-A-U of Denmark, used a shortwave transmitter to converse with a government radio post about 6 miles away in what's believed to be the first broadcast by a ham operator in history? How's with that? Did I pull that out of the hat?
That's an interesting piece of trivia.
did I pull that out of the hat or did I? Now, that's in Denmark in 1909 on March 18th. And that's from, let's see, the Meridian Record in Meridian, Connecticut. That's where that comes from. Got all kinds of stuff. Oh, I got this. I promised I'd talk about this. Zero Beat. Catalina Radio Club, the Hughes Employees Association in Tucson, Arizona. They have a nice newsletter called the Zero Beat, like I said, and it's the official publication of the Catalina Radio Club, an organization of the Hughes Employees Association, Tucson, Arizona. Larry Brown, Evie and AMSAT, in fact, he's the AMSAT man for the state, is involved with this, and he sent it to me, and I thank you. They have meetings and all kinds of stuff that they get involved with. They have examinations are being given all over the place in Tucson, March 21st, what that passed, April 4th, April 18th, May 2nd, and let's see, at the Shrine Temple, Sabar Shrine Temple, and at Pima College Aviation Center is where tests are handled. If you want more information, just give me a call. Or you can give Larry Brown a call at 794-7554, 794-7554. That's a nice newsletter. A lot of stuff happening in Arizona. It's amazing. But do I have time to go over this? I don't know. Things coming up. Dayton Hamvention, April 24th to 26th. The International DX Convention in Southern California happens April 10th to April 12th. Of course, for a title I talked about, ARRL Field Day. Now that's a day that's important to talk about. June 27th and 28th, the ARRL Field Day. We're going to have a show with Mr. Andrews, Bill Andrews, because who else is the guru of field days other than Bill Andrews? We'll do that in the upcoming weeks before Field Day. The Field Day is where we hams who are into making a lot of contacts get involved with quickly setting up antennas and making as many connections to QSOs, as we call it, as they can in a designated time frame on all different frequencies, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what it is. I mean, there's more to it, but a lot of people get involved, and the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club really gets involved and comes in.
Last year, it was fourth in the country.
In the whole country and first west of the Mississippi.
Yeah,
and that's difficult.
We're looking to improve that number next year.
I hope so. next week, I'm going to tell you what happened at WARC, because I don't really have time to go into the entire thing, and I do have a whole synopsis of WARC. What I really wanted to finish with is something I've done once or twice, once before on the show, and I keep getting this question again and again, and I know we always have new listeners. So I'd like to go over this. Where did ham radio come from? The word ham radio. And no? Yes? Okay. Who's on line one?
Yes, hi. I'm Steve.
Steve.
Phoenix.
Okay. Welcome to Ham Radio More.
Well, thanks. Let's see. I had a quick question, and I wanted to see if basically you'd have to be familiar with kind of proposition in AM-oriented radio. There's a few stations that you can especially listen to. I guess they're called clear channel radio in the evening.
Okay.
And, for instance, talk radio stations such as those at Denver, some others that they typically refer to as being received in 38 states area.
Okay, so what's the question?
The thing being, I was wondering if there was a convenient way to kind of improve that somewhat during the day, whether that was technically a...
Well, okay, we can answer that. Nick will answer that real easy, right. But it's all about propagation.
That's
so
what it boils down to is propagation. And you don't have the propagation during the day. That's all there is to it.
You need sporadic E, right? Or whatever. That's what you have, right? It's the E layer problem.
Yes, uh-huh.
So it's extended ground wave.
Yes, uh-huh. So the conditions just dissipate or don't obtain during the daytime.
That's also correct. That's also the problem with us getting the Middle East on shortwave.
Sure.
The propagation just doesn't work well. And a couple of weeks ago, we had the shortwave listeners group here. They have problems getting Israel and Iran and Iraq and this part of the country because of the propagation. There's just nothing that can be done.
Sure.
It's hard to get WGN from Chicago.
Same situation as in all aspects of ham or other radio, I guess.
Correct.
So you'd have to use some type of, I guess, translator or relay situation or approach there if you could develop that, then perhaps you could patch it through or relay it through. I guess that would be one of your projects if you wanted to do something along those lines.
There's always the satellite basebands.
Can those be used in conjunction with the...
They are being used.
I see.
Already.
Okay. Would there be any literature available that would go into that a bit, outline that?
Part of the satellite book? I don't know.
My suggestion would probably be to... is to call up Larry Brown. Actually, he might know from AMSAT. He might have some information, or to go to HRO and look at a satellite book that they have there.
Right.
And it might have some information. If you want Larry Brown's phone number, it's 794-7554 in Tucson. He's in charge of AMSAT, basically, for Arizona. But other than that, I don't know.
That was a commercial satellite book.
Commercial satellite book?
Yeah.
Like what? A suggestion or what?
I don't even know who they are.
Where would you even get one? The library?
I would expect the library probably has it, but every satellite has its own book that they put out on their programming.
Right.
And I think they have baseband information. I don't know if they have baseband information or not.
Mm-hmm.
They might have some because I know there's a lot of radio stations that do run baseband.
Okay, and I guess maybe another source would be to contact the radio station and see if they had any familiarity, knew of anything going on in that regard. For
specific information, that's probably the best place to go.
Sure, right.
Yeah.
To contact each station, case by case.
Okay, we got to wrap it up, but I thank you for listening. So, are you him?
Not as yet.
Okay, well.
Years ago, I looked into it, and... I might be interested in checking further.
Well, come on down to go to DeVry, take the test, or come on to one of the club meetings and see what it's all about. It's a lot of fun.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, well, thanks
for calling.
Okay, fine.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, this hour went pretty fast. Didn't get to the meaning of where ham came from. I'll talk about that next week. Next week, we're going to have Charles Brelsford here, and we'll talk about ham radio in 1923 and how it's progressed to now. Thanks, Wallpaper World, Ken Nichols of Lindebrock Auto Mall, and AEA Incorporated. This is Len Winkler, KB7LPW, and we're clear to next week.
You've been listening to Ham Radio and More.